beloved consumers, it's not the beginning of the podcast yet, so don't get too excited. This is a sneaky little intro that I'm doing. It's your pal, Ashley Birch, and I'm here to tell you a couple ways that you can support this here pod if you feel inclined. You could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. More requests that they be intensely glowing. I believe his words were, you should say that this podcast has healed you so much that you no longer need to see doctors. Anyway, you can also join our Patreon, which is Rebrand the Pod. This is a weird time in our nation's history. So if you don't have the means to give money right now, there isn't a more understandable thing in the universe. And by that, I mean, we totally get it. So don't feel obligated. But if you had a couple extra bucks you wanted to throw to this here Patreon, you would get access to our Discord, where you can suggest topics for rebranding. You'd also get access to a Q&A that we're going to do on the 19th of May. You get video. Why was that so hard to say? You get video content that's unreleased and pictures of our dog, Cody, the greatest dog on the planet Earth. And you get ad-free episodes, baby. Also, a caveat to this episode. I'm in it right now as part of your sneaky intro, but I'm not a contestant was the word that came to mind. That's not correct. I'm not on this episode of the podcast because Mort Burke and his beloved friend George McAuliffe were on a comedy tour, and they recorded this while they were on the road. They're just two boys leaving the world behind them, just bringing comedy to the good people of the United States of America. So they are about to rebrand comedy tours for your listening pleasure. If you want to imagine that I'm on this particular podcast still, just imagine this laugh occasionally. That's basically what I'd be doing. So anyway, please enjoy this pod. I will catch you on the next one, my little cuties.
Rebrand.
Ding.
Life is a podcast. We're going to record it all night long. Gimme, 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 gimme. Yeah.
Hello, beloved consumers. I'm Mort Burke.
And I'm George McAuliffe.
And welcome to Rebrand, a comedy podcast where we inject new life into tired old brands, whether they be snack foods, celebrities, or religious institutions, etc. Yeah, that was our, I'm going to say, note-perfect recreation of fucking, what's the guy's name?
I forget. I get John Mellencamp, him and Bryan Adams all mixed together.
It has to be the same man.
Yeah.
It's Tom Cochran. That's who it is. Tom Cochran's life is a highway.
There's one person we already destroyed their life listening.
He's a Rebrand fan. He's like, how the fuck did I catch a stray here? I did one song 30 years ago. So George and I are on a comedy tour right now. We're doing our last show here in Salt Lake City. We did
Phoenix,
thank you. Tulsa, St. Louis, couple shows in Chicago, Omaha, Salt Lake City. So our idea was to rebrand for this very special episode. We're going to rebrand comedy tours. Because in my mind, a comedy tour, when I think of it, and this I'm sure is not true across the board, but I think of it as a sad alcoholic who is pre-diabetic and very alone, going to like the giggle farm in fucking Ohio.
Yeah, and given like their apartment that they use for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's like all of the pathetic debauchery happens in the same location, and it's just haunted by these men.
The spirit of like bad cocaine and regrettable hookups is like in the air.
They call them road dog.
Totally, and they're doing the same set that they've done for 11 years, and they hate themselves.
Oh, painful.
Yeah. And I'm saying this as a person who loves comedy. That sounds like I hate comedy, but I love comedy.
Totally. And some people go through that phase and they work their way out of it and they get to another side. So I want to, you know,
absolutely
show respect to the, you know, chasing your heroes, realizing they're sociopaths and kind of going another way.
Yeah, they're broken men and they were wrong to idolize.
Yeah.
And also, if your dream is like touring and doing stand-up and you love it truly and are able to do it in a healthy way, that, I'm sure there's plenty of people who do that, and that's fucking awesome. I'm realizing on this trip, it's been so fun and wonderful and special. And George and I, we've known each other for 20 years.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And, but almost as acquaintances, really,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so there's been a really cool, like, we get to see each other's shows. We get to talk about each other's shows, talk about what we're trying to do, how we could do it better, like kick each other jokes, but it's been less about the jokes and more about our intention about this material that we're working on.
Yeah, totally. And it felt really good too that, because we knew each other in our 20s. I think we always had an aptitude for comedy and could, like, do it. And we're, like, you know, in the scene, doing it pretty well for our age and that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But then also, like, going through life and really, like, spending a long chunk of time apart almost like a decade working on ourselves individually and artistically in these different ways. And then getting together in a pickup truck across the country and being like, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really a great experience.
In a 2022 Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah.
And just surprising ourselves with like, oh, for some reason now we're in Wyoming and the sunset is stunningly gorgeous.
Yeah.
And we're like making unacceptable jokes about the pain of mental health. It's been a really moving, cool experience. And I think we both have, we're trying to mature as people and in our comedy, which is a really cool, interesting challenge to do. Cause it's often what I want from my comedians is to like, tell me more about what you believe in. Show me more like light and lessons and make it fucking hilarious, you know? And so we're able to like, we agree on that as an intention.
There's this beautiful thing you talk about how we don't have a lot of like elders in our culture. And how it's really sad because you have nobody to go to for wisdom. And I think it is something that's really great about what we're trying to do. And we're still we're not at that place yet in our lives and our journey, but like to try to take these hard steps to like grow and change and evolve. So over time you do have the potential of becoming those people.
And when I'm talking about that in the show too, I'm like thinking in terms of sort of culturally that there aren't any real elders, which is such like, and it's not even that original actually, but it is like a wild cultural loss. And then being on this trip too, like seeing some relatives and being able to be like, actually there is an energetic experience here from like my aunts and my mom and stuff that while I don't necessarily agree with everything about their life or whatever, I am grateful to know them and have like, relatives who are older than me and still alive. And I'm only noticing that, I think, because I live in goddamn California, 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that was like a really cool part of the trip so far too, is like, because you go out with like this material you're unsure of and putting it in front of audiences. But what's happened, what I think about more than even the shows, because they're 30 minutes a piece every other day or something, is every stop I've seen people I haven't seen in a very long time. Like even in Tulsa, I had a friend drive 2 hours a friend I grew up with.
Yeah.
I saw a cousin in Phoenix and some old friends who live there.
Yeah.
And then in obviously St. Louis and Chicago were like really, you know, we had spent a lot of time there and like very formative times in our lives. And like to see, like, I just felt very grateful for like all of the people and the experiences and the support, you know, It was a really great reminder.
And then now seeing friends of mine who have gotten older and done a fair amount of work on themselves, who are also able to show me a different part of who they are and like the depths with which they consider their family life and how they treat their kids and stuff. It's like really cool because it's like, oh, when I knew you, you were just like hammered and trying to hook up. And now you have like these extremely mature. And then they remind me like, and remember when there's a story I was on tour, with like an improv troupe in Florida. And I never hooked up on tour. And then I hooked up on tour once in Florida on this beach at like 11 PM. I'd known this woman for like 3 hours and I pulled out a condom and she goes, oh, I hate those. And I go, me too. And I threw it into the ocean.
That's crazy.
Which like, it's just wild to see people who that is the more that they knew, like that, like desperate, pretty pathetic and kind of self-destructive, you know,
100%.
Yeah.
And that's also like, some people continue that like in the comedy tour.
Yeah.
Like that's like an amazing story. And it's like when I see people who are like in their like late 30s behaving like that, I'm like, damn, I'm so thankful that I didn't value that at all and felt the pain of it. Like for that to continue.
Dude, right. That shit. Valued, oh my God. Dude. It's kind of funny when you're 24. If you're 48, it is just a living tragedy.
Yeah. And even at that age, I was like, I don't feel good about any of this.
There was part of me that like, well, instead, I wish I were in love with someone. And then too, the great thing about this tour is being able to share the bad experiences too, where we were in Tulsa, which I love Tulsa, and we performed at this really amazing bar that is actually, they just did a beautiful job preserving this bar from like the 70s. Like Southern Outlaw dudes played there, and I think like Warren Zevon played there and stuff like that. And it was really cool that they had us. But no one knew that comedy was happening. So imagine going to a bar with people who are trying to be at a bar and be like, okay, I'm going to tell you 30 minutes of jokes right now.
Yeah, we walked in and there was like cowboy hats outside and like biker kind of vibe.
I was like, oh, these aren't my people at all. It was funny because the bar was like very pro-LGBT, I think. So I came in there and I was like, okay, cool. Like there's some progressiveness here. Like this will be really interesting. But then part of me knew like, oh, there is not enough people to sustain actual laughter for any period of time here. We go in and I do my set and I do like a half an hour of jokes, but there's also a loose dog in the bar. The tone and volume and pitch of my voice specifically made this dog bark. So, and then I would get louder on the punchlines and that made the dog bark specifically when I needed to be heard the best. So it was the most effective heckle I've ever had.
And then I had a friend who I hadn't seen in years, drove 2.5 hours to watch this, you know?
Yeah.
And then afterwards you realize they just wanted to see me, like hang with me.
Totally.
Like he didn't care. You know, he liked the show. You know, it was like, he didn't feel like we did and didn't care. And a lot of people had good times or whatever they felt about the show.
Totally.
But they really just wanted to see us. And then to see the Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie museums. So another example of like the tour is nothing to do with the I mean, of course, it's the comedy.
Yeah.
But that experience was probably the best city experience we had, was just being able to like connect to that part of America. And like they had these great exhibits of a native musician and a hip hop musician and Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan. It was very like inclusive. And I had this great reminder of like, oh, yeah, whatever they're fucking legislating, it's not real.
Yeah.
Like, this is who we are. And it was like a really cool reminder.
Yes.
A great time to hear it.
What makes this country great is our art forms and our artists. Yeah. And it's like, somebody else made this point, but it's true. It's like, that's what everybody loves about America. It's our fucking music. It's our comedy. It's our movies. It's not our like guns rights and our weird legislation and like how bizarre our government is becoming.
Yeah. It's not a white guy with a $1 million haircut who's completely out of his mind. Like it's never been anything people love about it. So it's like, just like this thorn in our side.
Yeah. You know? And like, oh my God, they invented hip hop over there. Like, holy shit. And the Dylan Museum, I was talking to it's beautifully curated. Like absolutely go see it's. And all this stuff is just on like one block in Tulsa. And it's the Dylan Museum is so incredible. It's clearly such a labor of love by people who really care about this work. And I was talking to the lady and she said, all of the stuff that you're seeing is 5% of what we have in this building that is adjoining the structure right here. So Bob Dylan was an insane man who collected everything that happened in his life because he knew it was history. So what you're seeing is like postcards from Paul McCartney and like the leather jacket Dylan wore at the Newport Festival.
And Pete Seeger's note card?
Yeah, Pete Seeger's postcard to Bob Dylan explaining why he didn't actually want to cut the cord when Bob went electric. Like, who knew? That's like such an iconic thing. And there's a fucking postcard about it from the dude who was going to do it, supposedly.
Yeah.
And then there's 95% more of this shit that is like basically untouched and they have to have archivists come find it and or come go through it and decide, okay, now we want to replace the jacket with this piece of the piano that he recorded like a Rolling Stone on, which they also have, you know?
Yeah, I would recommend people going there for a weekend. It's like worth the trip to go there. It's really, really cool.
They have Slick Rick's rose quartz eye patch and Run DMC's Superstar Adidas and LL Cool J's Kangol. Like, it's crazy the stuff they have.
In the Woody Guthrie Museum, they have this virtual reality, which Mort had to duck out of because he got scared. But it was... You put it on and it's about the Dust Bowl. And so it has like a Woody Guthrie song and you see the Dust Bowl coming and like birds starting to fall out of the sky. And it's like haunting and dark and like incredible. It was really, really cool.
And two, a video talking about how like this entire Dust Bowl thing is a perfect example of America thinking that it deserves unending growth.
Yeah.
And this was an ecological disaster that was because of like specific
deforestation.
Yep.
Destroying native land, disrespecting the cultures.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was also what I got from it when I was in those museums was like, yeah, there's always going to be these like these powerful forces that are like kind of destroying things and like fucking everything up for people, which
yes.
we're of course experiencing now.
Yes.
And then every one of those artists came from hip hop to Woody Guthrie to Dylan. It's all comes from responses to these bigger forces. It was really cool.
Completely, you know? Man. Like you get so out of balance and then there's a fucking catastrophe. Hip hop makes the disaster of New York in the 1970s, which is, because of racist economic issues, turn into this incredible art form that has taken over the entire world, And then also in Tulsa, we got there and we were in this really cute Airbnb. I was like texting Ashley pictures of it. I was like, if we ever need to move somewhere, we should just buy this fucking Airbnb spot. And I was like, Tulsa's cool. I'm going to go skate around. So I went skateboarding, because it's never too late to rebel against your dad. And so I'm just kidding. Skating's the best, obviously. But I looked up a DIY skate park. There was one like a mile and a half away. And it was concrete. It was really cool. Like, go check out the Tulsa DIY if you skateboard. It's really sick. Like, tight transitions. It's all graffitied up. There's a, I think, an art piece of a giant alligator head that you could, like, ollie over and stuff. And so I'm skating there. And there's also this wooded area next to it. And probably about 4:30 p.m., I hear blood-curdling screams coming from the forest. Just wood screaming. So I was like, okay, time to get out of here. So then I skated away, and then a guy with a 666 throat tattoo asked me if he could borrow my skateboard. Which is, like, cover up the tattoo if you're going to ask to borrow something.
Yeah, at least have some kind of effort of a turtleneck and, like, some scheme.
Yeah, an awareness of, like, I'm all for self-expression, but the 666 tattoo does not make me think you're going to, like, hand it right back to me. It makes me think you're going to fucking sell it for meth money, dude. My brother. And he was cool, actually. I like this guy. I told him about the skate park. The skateboard, I was like, this is my baby, dude. I can't let this to you. And he was like, as a skateboarder, I respect that.
And you were talking about that on stage the night of, and people were, like, blank staring. Like, of course people scream in the woods here. Of course there's a man with a 666. Like, what are you talking? Like, what is the angle? This is Tulsa.
Yeah, welcome to Tulsa, where we would scream.
I know. It's crazy.
And, like, if the tattoo would have said, like, good at friendship, I would have let him borrow the skateboard, you know? And George, he made this incredible documentary about the Lakota language because his uncle is Lakota. And so also seeing America from the perspective that George has, which in my opinion... He might not say this. In my opinion, you have a very deep understanding of Native American spirituality and also a real knowledge of what happened here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And then when we went through Omaha, we stayed with my cousin, who's Lakota, half Italian, half Lakota, and got to see his artwork. And he has this beautiful, like, expressions of, like, the past and the, you know, in contemporary cultures kind of clashing.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of like a, yeah, beautiful thing to see that. And then also... be with them and,
totally.
And talk about it.
There's something about really sort of beautifully articulated abstract art that really speaks to me, and his shit was so cool of, like, in my opinion, his representation of modernity, which is hard to describe because it's abstract, but was almost this, like, technological, beautifully vibrant web of right angles and geometric shapes. And it was just so cool and powerful just in this basement.
Yeah.
Of this guy in this house that was, like, a real nice house in Council Bluffs.
Yeah.
And then, too, you showed me and told me stories about yours and his relatives who were very important Native American, you know, what I would call, like, priests or spiritual leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why they kept the language, because there are these pockets of these, like, really brilliant, but also, like, very fierce people who were, like, knew the value and saw what was coming. And we're like, it's very important to keep language because it's like the whole way you view the world.
Yes. And George's documentary, which is called
Oyate Woyaka on TBS.
Yeah, man. Go see it because it does a beautiful job of articulating the extremely deep reality of what you just said, which is that, and you just explaining it to me on this trip, that's what's been so beautiful, is like having a deep understanding and have it embedded in your language is the reality of the world, which is like cyclical, met with love, has seasons, is in a way cosmic, and is also very grounded. And there's all these different aspects, like they call their...
Tekushkashka, or the sacred movement. So everything that moves is sacred, you know? Or you're talking about, like, the word for, like, grandfather?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Tunkashila, but it, like, really means... They translate it to grandfather, but it means, like, a connection with an ancient life source. You know, so it has, like, this deep history and future vision and a deep reverence for the people who came before you. And it's not just grandfather.
Yeah. Older dad. That's right. A grandfather.
Right.
The prefix la, meaning love.
Yeah.
Is a part of their name for their people.
Yeah. Lakota. And it's deep reverence and love for somebody. Like they call their grandfather Lala, and it's just pure love. So it's like, you know, the propaganda is barbarian warrior, yeah, and the reality is deep love and reverence for all living things that move.
Yeah, right.
It's like a little different point of view of the people.
Dude, naked scalping savage, yeah, versus like the reality of a group of people who have learned over hundreds of thousands of years how to live in harmony.
Yeah, yeah, it's insane.
You know, and of course, just people like anybody else. You know, yeah, human beings, not some like super whatever people with no faults or anything like that.
No.
But I do think people who have a deeper understanding of what it means to live like in peace, which we desperately need now, I think.
And we all have it too. Like we come from these deep cultures and circle cultures that are not hierarchical.
Yeah.
But we're so far removed, you know, starting at like, you know, how far back, depending on where you're from. And Ellis Island, or it's like, most of us are not from England.
Yep. Yeah.
And we speak English, and we're so far from it that we're like, I don't even know what I'm communicating, or yeah, what I lost from my other language.
That's, you know, right. Yeah. What I lost from my other language is because there's this, you know, as a person in recovery, there's this like modern experience that I've certainly had of like, there's a hole that I'm trying to fill with other stuff. Now it's currently podcasting. And, I think this is going to work.
That's great too. It's like, I get to talk about all the stuff.
No, you know? And something that is artful is a better reach of from that experience, right? But for me, it's like, yeah, I got incredibly into like booze and all this other sick stuff, right, to try and fill this hole that I now believe is like is a hole that comes from losing an aspect of myself that felt like I was a part of the universe.
Yeah, and you're very sensitive, and it's a lot of pain, and it's intense, and you want to like stop that pain.
Yeah,
and this is the quickest way.
Yeah. You know? And that shit feels great. And I'm glad I did all those pills because now I don't have to do them anymore.
But you know, the beautiful thing though, I was thinking like on the tour is like, we get to go and we did a show in Omaha, but we get to have these conversations. And how many, like the old way of looking at a tour of like, I'm going here, I'm going to, did I kill? Did I bomb? Did I, which are both violent words, English words.
Did I murder and assault the audience? Like they paid you money to giggle.
Yeah, right. Did I destroy a heckler? But it's like, and thinking about those terms, or what are we drinking after? You know, who's the most attractive woman in the club? You know,
yeah.
And they're all in the same places with this deep native history. But how many people stop to like, and some I'm sure do. I don't want to like say no stand-up comedian is interested in that, because I'm sure that a lot of them really are.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is a cool thing to have like that perspective and go to these places and think about them and be in these different parts of this land.
Yeah. Know? And especially I feel like with George and I, who are sort of like an aspect of both of our personalities, like deep reverence, right? Personally, you know what I mean? I love making fun of shit. It makes me feel really good when I can identify something as fucking stupid.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm doing an aspect of that professionally, right? And then, but what we're both trying to do, I think, with our comedy is bring in other aspects, be that like love or beauty, all these other experiences that I think people really are desperate to have right now. And also looking at these other cultures that we're not afraid of reverence. Like, I do think culturally America hates reverence. That's why they have to play music at the gas station while you're getting gas. Like, God forbid you experience silence and your actual thoughts emerge in your head.
Yeah.
And I think the way to experience reverence of any kind is like you have to transcend your individual thought, which is often very self-absorbed, to the point that you can feel the magic of what's around you.
Yeah, dude. It's really beautiful. I think there's also this element of when people express reverence and love and sincerity and earnestness, people look at them and like in our culture, like you're lying and scheming me somehow, or you're very dumb.
Yeah.
That's how they kind of view that.
Yeah, and weak and a little bit of a pussy, which is like this deep hatred of femininity.
Yeah.
To my opinion, that's why all the homophobia, so much of that is because patriarchally, we feel comfortable dominating the feminine than allowing it to express itself because we're afraid of it because it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The feminine is receiving. And so much of these like cultures to me, the study of the world around them and the consideration of the animals and what their spirits mean is all a kind of receiving.
Yeah.
Like you have to really consider and live around a coyote for a long time before you're like, oh, wow, these are creatures of like survival. They're really dexterous. Their ability to acclimate they're like shape-shifting tricksters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And our survival depends on them, obviously, just like with the air and water and yeah. land. And it's very bizarre and like ego driven to try to control that, you know?
Yeah.
And it really, I don't think people understand the impact that it has on our psyche and lives, you know? Yeah, it's unreal.
Completely. And then to come in and be like, these fucking weirdos worship dogs or whatever. Like, that's not what's happening. You have a deep, profound, ignorant misunderstanding of the power of these realities that these people have lived in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah. And then it's fun to also have those kind of, to put that elements of that into it, you know?
Yeah.
Even with like the songs I'm playing, like the goal is to make people laugh.
For sure.
You know, and laugh hard.
And they are often very dark and filthy.
Very dark and filthy which and is disrespectful. And, yeah. And then, but it is like fun to have that reminder of like, it's all of this stuff, you know? And it's like, and I think we think it's very important to make people really laugh.
Yeah.
And it's such a great experience and great part of life.
Yeah. You
know? So not like to separate it and be like, you can't have these two things together. You know?
Totally.
I think a lot of like, you know, of the tours of stand-up, they are very ego and money driven. And I think people shy away from having sincere moments because they watch specials like that, like Nanette or other things. Yeah. And I've had these thoughts too, but they're like, that's not comedy because they're stopping it to hit me with all this other stuff I don't want to think about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I like it all.
And for sure, there's different kinds of comedy. Anybody can do anything they want with comedy. I personally don't like it when people focus down onto one aspect of it, like to be really fucking mean. To me, that's a misuse of this beautiful tool that we have, this beautiful art form that we have. And like, cruelty can be hilarious, you know what I mean? But if that's all you're doing, you're a bully. That's it. And that shit is not funny to me.
Like those people, like they always talk about like Don Rickles is what we're doing. And it's like, I saw Don Rickles live and he has this like insult thing, but he sings like a song at the end to his mom and how much he loves her. There's all this other stuff going into what he was doing.
Totally.
That they're just like taking the low, and then he was so much funnier too and original. And they just take the lowest hanging, like obvious observation and are like cruel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he would hate you.
Yeah. And same with Bill Hicks, right? Like he, to me, his most powerful stuff is when he's talking about the impenetrable and unfathomable reality of existence, you know, and like, yeah, he screamed a lot at people sometimes, and yeah, he like smoked cigarettes a lot, and people take that thing and they're like, yeah, I'm kind of a rebel actually, and just do that. And two, now as I get older, I really am having a lot more gratitude. I'm still working on this, but I really appreciate the audiences more than I did. Like, I just have a deeper understanding of what it means to come out and watch something, and I'm really psyched because I really believe in George and my stuff right now. And so to give that to them feels like a good, gratifying exchange.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And taking time to like thank them and, you know, and just know what people do to come out. They're like getting babysit. It's like a lot to come out and see it.
For sure.
You know,
totally.
To see a show.
And it's risky because live comedy can be a nightmare show. It can be terrible. Yeah. So I think you're really risking like a bad experience to have a good experience, which is really courageous. Mm-hmm. So I might... Thelma and Louise, George, and I tonight. This might be the last time you ever hear of us.
I feel like
we're at the peak. Yeah, yeah. I just go to hold your hand. You're like, what? And then I just hit the gas.
Oh, no. Why? We have another show in LA. And Moore did often introduce me as a man who envisions the Grand Canyon filled with corpses. He would like really like... So I have to go out on stage with people like thinking this of me. Or what was the other one?
Well, I said that you were sex trafficking me.
Oh, yeah.
And that this is not a tour, that I was being held captive against my will. And this isn't a joke. Like, somebody please help me. Like, and George is much larger than me. And like,
yeah, and I come out with my guitar and they're like, oh, this this beast, we know who he is. The sex trafficking monster envisioning a sea of corpses. I love it.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, this has been really cool. If you missed these shows, you're bad. You blew it. But we're going to do another show in LA May
28th. That Wednesday, it's a Wednesday night. I think it's 7:30.
Yeah,
Lyric Hyperion.
If you're in Los Angeles, you should come out, because now we've gotten to do this material a lot, which is the other thing I've loved about this this tour is that it's really hard to get any real amount of time in LA. We're building stuff out of like 10 minutes at a time top. So to get to a half an hour over and over has really introduced me to a new aspect of how I perform this shit. And it's really cool. And George's stuff is gorgeous and hilarious and nightmarishly dark. So
yeah, thanks. Yeah. I think I'll have a couple of new things too from the first time we did it. So yeah. it'll be a different experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. So come out. And we're hoping to we're probably going to do a Northwest tour, driving tour up through like Portland and Seattle. And we got some wonderful friends in Montana who have a comedy club. And so we would really like to be able to do this stuff more out in the world and in the country and hopefully keep it cheap for people. Cause I think this stuff should be affordable. Like I obviously want to buy a Porsche 911. That's why I exist. But, comedy should be for somebody who has like $6 and needs a laugh. And the problem with comedy clubs is the tickets are $50 and then you got to buy two $20 drinks. And it's like, who's watching this stuff? Like if you have that money, you don't need the laughs as bad as somebody who doesn't have that money.
Yeah, truly.
You know? So I'm grateful to have friends who are my buddy Andy Slowey in St. Louis in the Improv Shop, an independently owned functioning theater that is like such hard work and it's very inclusive and, gender neutral bathrooms and like signs about like whatever your gender is, we're fine with you here. They intentionally stopped selling Bud Light at their bar because Bud Light recalled all of their like LGBT pride shit. And Calvin here, Ditmore.
Yeah, the Alliance Theater. I know that it's like they work at different theaters.
Yeah.
But they do a great job of building community and trying to keep that spirit too. And very challenging places to do it.
Yeah.
In Salt Lake and in St. Louis.
Absolutely. So. You got to find the burgeoning artists who can come out and join you and take classes. You have to charge them. You got to keep the lights on, and then these people, but in St. Louis, I really see it as this beautiful thing where people are really becoming part of this community, which as we're talking about, it's as much about the community, if not more. Like getting to talk to George, somebody who's been interested in comedy for 20 years and has been performing it for a very long time is profoundly meaningful to my spirit, this thing that we both love to join in just getting to talk about it for fucking hours.
Yeah, same. Great reminders too, and new insights and how you've grown and your newer influences too. It's very cool.
Yeah, and I think we need that more than ever. I really think that the internet has, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I also think that it gives us this thing that looks like connection but actually isn't. So, and I think so many people are sort of sick with lack of connection and with isolation.
Yeah.
And because of comedy and improv specifically, I've been surrounded by community and also recovery for such a long time that I can't understand why you would fall for something like QAnon. But I think if you're so desperate and alone.
Yeah. There's all this trickster energy. And that's the thing. You have to really know yourself and be connected or else you're not going to know what it is. You're going to get scammed.
Yes. And you know yourself better when you interact with human beings in real life. And that is hard because human beings can do any kind of goddamn thing. So it's a risk to get to know people. But when you do it, you learn so much more about yourself and you are actually stronger and more empowered and you're less likely to fall for weird scams.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So if you live in a weird part of the country or, there are these, I believe that there are these places where, and it's not just comedy. I think there's all kinds of communities for whatever you're interested in. I love the internet and its ability to help people find other people like them is so gorgeous and an entirely new experience for humanity in a way that I think has been very powerful for people. And I think there's another aspect of it that is you also need to go fucking hang out with them in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know?
Yep.
So yeah, find your people and your art and you go do it because you need other people to help support you to do it. And we need it now more than ever. If you have any inkling to do any kind of art, I promise you, you can do it. And the path of it that it will take you on is just as important as the art itself. Being an artist, and I call myself an artist, even though I podcast and make fucking queef jokes, is the path of being an artist is the greatest adventure, I think.
Amen. And Mort has me at gunpoint right now. My name is George McAuliffe. I live at 4223 Half Normal Avenue, Los Angeles, California. Please call all my parents.
Actual address. Yeah, that's it. This has been a real fun episode. Thanks for listening, guys. George, where can the people find you on the socials?
Oh, you know, just Instagram, really. George McAuliffe. You can find me there. Yeah, that's where I'll be promoting everything from the doc to these shows to hopefully new exciting projects coming.
Yeah.
In the near future.
And will you say the name of the documentary one more time?
Oyate Woyaka. The People Speak.
I can't believe you made that. Like, I can't even repeat many of the jokes that George and I have said on this trip.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. In my set, I talk a lot about multidimensionality. I believe that's what, like, being non-binary is. That's what being a, I love baseball, and I'm an artist, and I'm a dad, and I'm a this, and I'm a that.
Yeah,
a, you
totally,
know what I mean?
Totally.
And you really exemplify that by doing, like, incredibly dark comedy that I love, and then making this gorgeous, necessary piece of art.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, it's like listening to yourself and being like, and not shutting it out, you know, and just being like, this is what the path you're going to walk down. And then things open up, and it's like a long, hard process, but people can do so many things, and we're often like told we can do one or none.
Yeah, right. You can do one thing badly. When the reality is, like, life is long. You can do many things. Not even well, but also the way you're supposed to do it.
Right.
Like, nobody's making that documentary like you are with your family. These people are your family.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like the universe gives you indications where, like, hey, you know, whatever it is, do you want to try and make this thing? And you're probably scared.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And you did it anyway.
Yeah. 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 It's hard. Yeah. I don't know how we did it, to be honest. But even the guitar thing, learning that within the last 5 years for the show.
Yeah.
Or it's all things of, like, just being willing to take the pain of being a beginner as you get older. And I think that's a really important thing that for me is to be like, I will weather this shame and terribleness till it gets good.
Yeah. Cause it's goddamn humiliating. It feels terrible.
Oh. So humiliating when you have gray in your beard and you're like, blink, blink, bong. Like, what are you trying to do in that room?
Yeah.
That's pathetic. Like, who do you think you are? Or, like, why are you doing this?
And now George is on stage playing beautiful music throughout the country for strangers and, like, hopefully bringing some joy and magic into their life just because he kept trying.
Yeah. And everyone can do that.
You know? Everyone can do it.
100%. I mean, really, if you know me, you'll know this is a sign that everyone can.
George is profoundly untalented.
Borderline brain damage from head injuries from Division III football.
So
what are you doing? No.
Yeah. What's your excuse? And I'm sure we're talking to artists anyway, but I just find that in my life, it can be so challenging that I need people to remind me that, that I can do anything I put my mind to. And especially now we need, like, beauty and honesty.
Yeah. And your stuff's so funny, man. It's so funny and also, like, poignant. And it's beautiful the way you've grown. So I love getting to watch it every week.
It's been great. Heck yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Again, leave reviews on Apple that are so glowing that it makes people concerned for your health and safety. You guys are great. Thank you for listening. Okay. Kisses. Free breath.